audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight is just the love that exists between me and y'all. We have a lot of good guests coming up later in the week. Got Melanakis visiting us back here. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Anderson. Well, you can join in too, Anderson. I know you'll be right along with me. But I'd like to go right to the calls. Let's see where we are. We've got Emily, 17. What's up, Emily?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, kiddo, what's happening?
My question is about anal prolapse.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What would you like to know about it?
Well, I heard, you know, that you get it from anal sex, you know, and that you're...
Perhaps. I've sort of talked about it lately that I was concerned that it could be one of the outcomes. That is something that happens, particularly to older women. And God only knows after people sort of do things to that part of their body, I'm expecting to see more of that kind of pathology as women age.
What I say? Well, I said I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
So is it very common? Do you have to have anal sex a lot? Because I have only had it a few times.
No, it's pretty common in without anal sex. And I'm just saying that if people do a lot of that kind of thing, particularly painful anal sex, that's the thing I'm mostly concerned with, is that people continue to subject their body and their souls to things that they find painful and unpleasant just to satisfy their partner. And that's great. That's all fine. However, I think you're asking for trouble. And Emily, did you enjoy this?
After a little while, but I mean, at first you're right, it hurt really bad.
Yeah, I think that your body's telling you something, and if it was something you just enjoyed and thought it was the greatest thing, and from right off the bat, fine, enjoy. There's no big deal. Your body is sort of telling you this thing, you can handle this. But with the pain, you get tearing and fissures and stir up some hemorrhoids, lovely things, lovely things. And then God knows one day, little prolapse just to kind of put a little insult on injury there. Let's see. This is Liz. What's up, Liz?
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
I have a question.
Good.
I'm with this chick, and we've been together for about 2 years now.
Yeah. You're a lesbian. Yeah.
Well, there's only one guy I like.
You're a lesbian.
Okay. Huh?
Nothing. Keep going.
You're a lesbian.
Just about there. Pretty much. But anyways, the girl I'm with is 20 years old. There's like 3.5 year age difference.
Okay. That's not so cool.
I've grown up with this girl, and we've been engaged for about a year now. I got a ring and everything, okay?
Hold on. You're wondering whether or not you're lesbian, and yet you've
No, the deal is I got caught with her, and, like, when I turned 17 in a couple months, I wanted to move out.
I think Liz is deeply religious.
I can tell. Keep going.
What's
one of the sacraments, Anderson? How dare you?
Like, she's got her own place, and she has money. Should I move with her? Should I stay with her? Or should I, since I'm young, should I try?
Where are your parents?
My parents are asleep right now. What?
Well, that's what you call concrete thinking. I mean, what's the deal with your parents? Why are you in such a hurry to get out of that house?
Well, my mom doesn't really approve of what I do. Like, she knows how I am. She knows I had sex with her. But she still talks about me going out with guys.
Liz.
Yeah.
What's up with your family of origin? Were they just horribly abusive to you growing up?
I was sexually abused by my father.
Huh.
They're all Catholic.
Where's my bourbon?
And you still live with the perpetrator?
I still live with them, yeah, because that was a couple years back.
Oh, we then it's all forgiven. Of course. Why'd you say so? Did you report this?
Yeah, we went to court and everything, but like.
And you ended up living back with him again?
Yeah, he's in the house now.
Wow. Why?
Because my family's kind of messed up. They're all Catholics.
Yeah, let's stop blaming on the fact that they're Catholics. I get that they're messed up. Why didn't the legal system step in to help you?
I don't know. I kind of played it off like everything was okay just so I can get it out of the court system.
Wow, Liz. How about some treatment, huh?
I went through 2 years of that.
And do you still see that therapist?
They said I was okay.
Yeah, you're okay in terms of your symptoms, but inside there's a lot of chaos and the stuff still going on. How do you do at school?
A's and B's.
A's and D's?
B's.
A's and B's.
Yeah, I recently got a scholarship to college.
Where? To college. So nearby where this girlfriend lives?
Yes.
So you'd be living with her and going to college, is that right?
Yes. I don't know if I should do it, though.
Go to college?
No, live with her.
I would, I'm not going to tell you what to do or not to do, but I don't think it sounds like a great idea. Nor do I think a 16-year-old should be taking an engagement ring from a 20-year-old, whether it's a boy or a girl. Okay. I think you're 16, your head's spinning around like a top, you're confused, you were sexually abused. You sort of have one move here, which is do well at school, get out of that house, form a sense of yourself at school, maybe see a therapist there at the college where you're going, and really start to get some independent life going, Liz. Don't run from one mess to another. Just get independent of everybody and get an education so you can move around at your will, okay?
That's like the only way I can leave the house, though, if I move in with her.
Can't you go to college? Can't you move away to college?
No, they won't let it.
Why?
We don't have the money for me to...
Well, then get a loan. Get a college loan. Get a student loan. Seriously, get independence is what you need, not dependency on another person. Jerry.
Hello?
Jerry. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew? You're the greatest.
Dude. Thank you, sir. What's happening?
Okay, my question is, I've been with my girlfriend for about 4 years, and we just recently started watching porn together. I was wondering if it's going to have, like, a bad effect on our relationship, like, in the long run, or if it's, like, healthy or what.
What is your fantasy? What is it you're worried about?
No, I don't want it to have a bad effect. I mean, I'll stop if it ends up having like a bad effect, and I just want to know if that's like the end result.
It sounds like it's like Monday Night Football. He's trying to get her to watch.
I know. Well, I wonder, is it that you're worried that you're going to get so into it that you're going to lose interest in her, or is it that you're worried?
If it's going to end up like, yeah, either way. I mean, if that happens, or if it just like has a bad effect.
All right, here's my concern. If it's something she really likes and wants to do with you and you share it together, it's fine. But if she starts feeling like, you know, why is this guy watching women being exploited and I don't like how women are treated on this and he's looking at other women, that makes me feel bad, you go down that path and you're going to have trouble.
Okay, she seems to be into it a lot, too.
All right, then it's probably okay. There are women that like looking at that stuff, too, though the vast majority of the viewers are not female. Connie, what's happening?
Yeah, actually, I had a question, which is kind of hard to ask, but I have got a boyfriend and a girlfriend. They both mm-hmm. know about each other. They have from the very beginning. She has been away on, basically vacation. She's been overseas for a while.
Doing what?
Visiting her family. And
I'll slow down here. What's her family doing overseas?
They're from Japan. I met her on an exchange program, and then she got her green card.
And you were in Japan at the time, or?
No, I was here. I've only been there once to visit her at that point. She's only been away for a few months.
And when did you get involved romantically?
We have been involved since we were both 15.
Jeez. All right. Here we go. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I've recently been with my boyfriend, and she knows we've had the thing with that from the beginning. She didn't mind. And I have expressed an interest to both of them when she gets back of having a threesome.
Hmm.
I think they're both a little bit worried about it. My question is if I should just stop it there because I've already...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you want more chaos, which seems to be your intent here.
Yeah, I kind of thought that one because I've already...
Why do you need all that chaos?
I do not know, in all honesty. I met my boyfriend. She was away. I fell head over heels in love with him, and
You don't come from chaos? Your family of origin wasn't chaotic? You didn't grow up around chaos?
Yeah, always.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's where you need chaos. You got to create chaos and hell in your life, which you've got. You're walking that line between trouble and intrigue here.
Yeah.
You have a threesome and this thing will explode like a nuclear holocaust. It'd be ridiculous.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted.
Were you abused along the way, too, in addition to the chaos?
Extremely.
What happened?
My mom's boyfriends, my sister's boyfriends, my father.
Sexually abused you?
Yes.
And you've had some treatment for this?
I've had treatment for it, yes. I've also had treatment for eating disorders, so.
Okay, all right. Connie got, like, that little girl voice going, too.
All right. Always.
Well, all right, so you've got again, your compass is kind of spinning around. You can't have trouble with boundaries. You have trouble with your identity. You can't figure out what you like or don't like. And you're going to try to bring it all into one big happy mess and a threesome. How about if the two of them get together and take off and leave you behind? How's that going to feel?
Well, that's actually something that I am honestly not too worried about.
Why?
For the most part, simply due to the fact I know them both, and she is not all that interested in men at all.
Well, it's just rare that relationships survive a threesome.
That's
just rare.
What I was wondering, because
here's what I have to be honest with you about. I've not dealt very often with this particular circumstance. And usually, when I've dealt with this in the past, it's always been people living in the same place together, and you know, and there's already hell in the relationship. So the boundaries are really poor, and there's already a lot of heavy feelings and lack of clarity about who's with who. And then they start sleeping all three together, and then the whole thing falls apart.
You have
two separate relationships, and you're trying to bring them together. And I've never really had much experience with that. My sense is it would be a disaster.
And that's what I was thinking, because I've been considering breaking it off with her, and I've even talked to her about that. But
It wouldn't be a bad idea to limit it down to one. I'm not saying which one you pick, but that would be a healthier thing for you for sure. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, Dr. Drew, how are you?
Buddy, I'm good. What's up with you?
I have a question. Me and my girlfriend just started dating about 2 months ago, and about a little bit into the relationship, we started having sex. Well, before all this, she had a boyfriend of about a year almost, and every time we have sex, it just feels like she's thinking about him.
Why?
And I recently got her to stop thinking about him, because when we would be together, there'd be certain things to remind her of him, like songs, you know, things somebody would say.
And she would bring that up with you?
Well, you could tell by her reaction, and I would ask her what's wrong, and she would eventually tell me.
I see. And now,
and
what's happening when you're together physically?
Say what?
And what's happening together when you guys are having sex? I know.
Everything's like fine. Like, she acts fine towards me, but certain things she said to him that he's told me that, like, you know, she misses him, misses sex with him.
All right, Jason, what can I do for you? Get to it.
Wait, he's still friends with the guy?
I know.
No, I'm not friends with him, and I don't think she is either, because she's not really supposed to be talking to him.
Right. I'm getting confused, but want to zero in on what the question is.
All right. Well, is there any way that I could do a certain thing to please her more?
Focus very deeply on what she's feeling and try to empathize with it and care about it immensely.
Okay.
One thing women like is you to pay attention. Okay.
That's what I've been trying to do.
Just then give her some time and some space. And perhaps this will work itself out. It's a long relationship, and you guys only been together a month. Who knows what she's thinking? These are her own private thoughts. She is with you because she wants to be with you. You need to be, I'll tell you what will turn her off, is you having all these insecurities and worrying about what she's thinking about, okay? Why don't you just focus on what she is feeling and be there for her, and I think maybe she'll respond a little bit better. Stuart.
Hey, Dr. Drew, Stuart, thanks for taking my call. I was recently in Hawaii with my ex-girlfriend's mom. And,
How'd that happen?
There was no physical contact.
Suggesting there should have been or would have been, but how did you end up in Hawaii with your ex-girlfriend's parents?
Well, they live there.
Keep going.
Yeah, she lives there. In any case,
you just stated a fact. You haven't given me a reason why you were there.
Oh, why I was there? Oh, I was visiting her.
But it's your ex-girlfriend.
I became, yeah, right. I was, I'm fairly close with my ex-girlfriend's parents. They were always very good to me and stuff. Just because I have a theory, just because you break up with someone, I hated the fact that you would say, oh, they're such a bitch or they're terrible. You know, that, no, you went out with this person. I mean, you usually like them and like their family, hopefully. Okay. In any case, so I was there, and I was there alone one night, and she's been going to a homeopathic, I guess, a spiritualistic doctor, and I could have sworn the lady was on ecstasy. She was very touchy-feely, and I wanted to know, do you run into people, this is a lady in her 60s, into people who try these things later on in life?
Pretty rarely. But there, you know, you're not a psychiatrist. You're not used to sort of assessing what's going on. There's something very wrong here, and it will sort of surface and play itself out with time.
Okay, yeah, the only thing I know is her mother was an alcoholic, so I know okay. She comes from some chaos.
All right, so the mom's mother?
Yes, the mom's mother, yes.
And maybe the mom's an addict, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know him that well, I would think.
So her sloshiness may be benzodiazepine or opiates or something else. It's not likely to be ecstasy. That's not one that the 60-year-old crowd really picks typically. Greg, what's happening?
Hey, Dr. Drew, how are you?
Good, Greg. What's up with you?
Not much. I wanted to ask you about this situation that I have. I kind of found out recently that I have, like, this fetish where it's kind of like a peeping Tom type thing.
Keep going.
You know, like a voyeur. And I don't know. All my friends think it's really odd. I mean, I haven't really told all of them about it, but I just want to know what you think. You know, do you think that's something that could get out of hand? Or?
Of course. What are you doing?
Nothing like, you know, climbing up in a tree or anything, but... You know, like, I have neighbors across the way, and I'll look in their window, and I'll just, like, watch them watch TV or eat, you know?
Well, as long as you're not watching from the tree, then it's completely okay. What do you mean crawling up in a tree? What does that have to do with anything?
No, I'm just saying that's a stereotypical peeping Tom thing, like, you'll be sitting in a tree.
Yeah, that's something out of, like, a bad 70s
right,
comedy
that's
film.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. I don't do that.
Yeah, nobody does that.
Okay, good.
However, it is a violation of other people's privacy, and I think they would be upset to know that you were just watching them. And it is a little creepy, don't you think?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to call in. You know, I wanted to see if there's anything I should do.
What do you get out of it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't, like, you know, gratify myself or anything. I just kind of, I don't know. A fetish, not really a fetish, but just a perversion maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, usually those sorts of things, there's various sort of generalities in these kinds of behaviors. One is an expression of aggression that people, that's usually the kinds of voyeurs and masturbators and that kind of stuff. That's sort of a way of, classically being thought of as a way of expressing an aggression at other people. The other thing, and I think this is a more of a newer way of thinking about these things, it's a way of distancing yourself from feelings. It's a way of sort of getting into an alpha state where you're just sort of in this sort of, you know, so you get kind of a dreamlike state while you're watching them. Is that true? You're sort of out, you're just sort of...
I feel kind of loony when I do it.
Yeah, but do you feel at all sort of... Well, here's how most people... This is almost like porn, internet porn stuff, is that people just sort of go into this slightly altered state where they're sort of in a dreamlike state or an alpha wave state where they're sort of there and away from their feelings, and it's one way of trying to regulate feelings, not a normal way, and that's something you ought to look into. Nikki.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. Am I on the radio?
You're on the radio.
Okay, well, actually, you know what? I'm a little embarrassed, but I kind of masturbate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it about 2 or 3 times a day because I don't have sex regularly. I'm not really starting to try or anything. I don't have a problem with getting sex, but I just like to hold it off. But I don't want to hold off, like, my clit stimulation is going down. And, you know, I never really tried any female toys or anything, but when I have sex, it's really hard for me to get an orgasm.
During intercourse?
During intercourse.
Okay. So, how about other means?
What?
Has it always been that way?
You know, it kind of has. It kind of has.
So you know sort of the data on women and orgasm, right?
Yeah, well, I know that, like, if you rub your clit too much, you're not going to... I mean, excuse me.
No. That it was, believe it or not, it was designed for that, within reason.
But, I figured...
But that most women are unable to have an orgasm with intercourse. Most. So the fact that you were able to at all sort of puts you above average. And the fact that you somehow believe you should be able to have one easily, that's never going to happen. It's not. It's just that you're sort of, you could probably find ways to do it easier. You could sort of master, as you get older, it will get easier. But there are basically four categories. One is women that never have orgasm with intercourse, only with oral sex or direct stimulation. There's an intermediate zone like you, which can kind of go both ways, but it's hard to have an orgasm, but you know. And you could probably learn to have even a sequential orgasm. And then there are those women that have multiple orgasms. They'll have like 30 or 40 and a begin and only have with intercourse and find oral sex unpleasant and overstimulating.
Okay.
And each one of those is a separate genetic category. You're in this one category. Yeah, it's a different, you don't move from one category to the other. We can't turn you into the multiple masturbator, nor can we take away your ability to have orgasm with intercourse.
So you're not going to tell me that, like, cutting back on masturbating is going to keep my orgasm pumping out? No.
you really have to be using an instrument that overstimulates, like a vibrator that somehow causes damage to the nerves.
Oh, really?
Otherwise, all you're doing is sort of tiring yourself out. And then, yes, if you wait a little longer in between, you may have a little more drive. You may be a little more easy to have an orgasm, but you're not going to ruin the apparatus, okay?
Oh, cool. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks a lot. And I want to say hello to Seth and all you guys. A wonderful night. Thank you a lot.
All right. Take care. Whatever that was. So, Anderson, should we take a break?
Yeah, it sounds like a good time to take a break.
Sounds like a good idea. All right. Fair enough.
Sorry, Drew. I was looking up some information.
Like what?
Yeah, MySpace information.
Oh, that's beautiful. What the hell do you do on MySpace?
I don't know. Cruise for youngins. Listen, I saw a great film today called Transamerica. I suggest you go see it, Drew.
What's it about?
It's about being a transgender pre-op.
Pre-op?
You haven't heard about Transamerica?
Is it a documentary?
No. It's a narrative, and it's up for like...
Oh, yes. What's her name from Desperate Housewives is in it, right?
It's very, very good, yes.
Yeah, it's very good. Yes, yes. All right, I'll see it. All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's just me and y'all tonight. No guest. We'll be right back.
Yep, Loveline will be back.
Glad to hear it.
Loveline will be right back.
Here we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Just the love that resounds between y'all and myself. That's good. Let that music kind of play out for a while. I never get to hear the intros because Norm would jump right into our guests. Well, let's jump into calls anyway. Here's Jessica. What's happening, Jessica?
Oh, can I just first say I'm a huge fan of yours. I think what you do is really important, and I'm like in the education field, and you're an inspiration for me.
You are very kind. You are very kind.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. I just got out of a super long relationship. I'm 25, and I was with this guy for like 4.5 years or something. And I don't know. We just recently broke up, and we have a kid together. And
uh-oh.
Gosh, I know. I don't know. I just wanted to know what maybe your thoughts on like rebounds. And I feel like that's really cliche, and I don't really think it exists. But
well, it's a way to understand behavior. It's a way to sort of, you know, we always, you know, humans, we try to categorize and we try to understand and we, you know, sort of make things easy for us to sort of digest. And so rebound is a concept that helps us understand why we behave in certain ways when we get out of a relationship. Usually it refers to being unavailable for a real relationship. It means you just get into a relationship just for sex or a relationship just to feel like connected to somebody or not lonely, as opposed to a real relationship.
Right.
So what's happening?
Well, I don't know. Like, he still wants to be with me, my ex, and
Why'd you break up?
Because he's just, he's just, like, really just emotionally bankrupt, you know? Mm. And, I just feel like it wasn't going anywhere, and we're always fighting, and I'm applying to my grad school, and I'm just really, feel like I need to focus on myself.
Is he just smoking pot all the time, or what's he doing?
What was that?
Is he just smoking pot all the time, or what's he doing?
Yes. God, you are like a genius. You are like...
I know, I just... I when it comes to addiction, I can smell it.
I am
just
the smartest man alive!
No, I'm not smart. I intuit this stuff. I just smell a marijuana addict when you were describing him.
You are...
So anyway...
Okay. You're yeah, totally, so you, yeah.
And so your dad was an alcoholic or something?
God, stop. You're scaring me. You're like Miss Cleo. Yeah. You're literally scaring me. I don't
I'm like Karnak. Well, listen, let's just think about it. One of the things that Joe Rogan said I really like when he was over, he goes, look, we're just monkeys who talk. And I thought that was pretty, that's pretty
Maybe
much
that
true.
Guy.
What?
Maybe that guy.
Maybe Joe. Well, no, it's we're you know, biological organisms that we're independent. We think we have all kinds of, you know, we're unique individuals, but we're our behaviors and the patterns that we follow, particularly in the extreme, are pretty predictable, pretty understandable. That doesn't mean you're less of a person. Your motivational system is really, we're talking about that part of the brain, the part of the brain that sets up motivation. And by the way, the fact that you have the sort of temerity to leave this guy and to move on and take care of yourself, in spite of even having a child, it's not so great for the child, but it's very, very positive for you.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're not caving back into him when he wants to come back. I mean, this is all really, really, what have you gone to some treatment or something?
No, there is a little bit of caving. And also, like, of course, my son is my first concern. And I feel like, you know, I just want to do right by all of us. And you know what I mean?
All right. Here's my recommendation. You want me, if I could paint a fancy version of Jessica's life, or the idealized version of how it should go forward for everybody. You want to have a close relationship with your marijuana addict boyfriend so he can have a dad. I mean, his dad is going to be an addict just like your dad is an alcoholic addict, but it's still his dad, and he still loves him very dearly, and you have to let him develop that relationship. Then you need to have very strict boundaries with him so you can sort of come and go and have a relationship without him freaking out, without fighting. And then you need to focus on school, focus on your son, and just be available to relationships as they come along, but don't go seeking one. All right?
You're totally right. God love you. Jeez, I don't know what to say to you. You're awesome.
Jessica, just keep doing your good work.
You could be my father figure. I would, you know what I mean?
All right, I'll be your father figure, and you can just build all kinds of fantasy into who I am and how I treat you and stuff. But you don't, listen, you're 25. You don't need a father figure. You need to focus on your schooling, and you need to be a separate whole person by yourself, okay?
Right on.
Really. Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's see. This is Christina. What's up, Christina, 16?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
My question is, how do you avoid getting ditched by guys after sex without scaring them away before you even have a chance? Like, I want a relationship, but it always...
Don't have sex with them?
Yeah, don't have sex with them. It's a pretty simple solution.
Oh, yeah, but it's, like, kind of hard.
How?
Why
is it hard?
Like,
if that's what you really want, you don't really want to have sex, you really want a relationship, but it should be easy.
Just because it gets hard doesn't mean you have to sit on it.
Oh,
no,
it's really hard.
I like
she said.
Sex. I do.
I know, but you want a relationship very badly, right?
Yeah, but I still want sex in the relationship. I mean, I don't. It's like, I think that the guy likes me and he wants to have a relationship, but after we have sex, he just totally ditches me.
Okay, well, here we go. We've offered you some advice, and you've told us how you're going to do it, then you just go keep on doing things, and things are going to continue the way they are.
Like, how do you pick them out, though? How do you know who's good and who's not and who's just going to use you?
The ones that stick around and form a relationship first and are willing to wait to have sex until they actually are involved with you, that's going to be more likely to be a better guy than the guy that is just willing to have sex. All the guys are willing to have sex now. And so you're sort of going to find your way to bad guys that way more often than not. And the guys that are willing to stick around and have a relationship are more likely to be somebody that's interested in a relationship and interested in you. It's sort of a test. And if you can't contain your sexuality, it's not funny because it's what you really want is a relationship and your sexual compulsion is getting in the way of that. That's acting out behavior, and that's a problem.
Well,
that's depression. That's either depression or bipolarity or something horrible going on in your home. Something's up then. So what do we got going on here?
I don't know. I guess
what's happening? What's happening? And what happened?
I've been molested and all that good stuff.
Well, there we go. And people who are molested become sexually compulsive and sexually addicted too.
how do you, like, stop it? How do you contain yourself?
Well, it's hard. It's, you know, it's a system that's been sort of hyper stimulated when you were at a young age and sort of wires into your system and makes it difficult for you to not do these things. So I would urge you strongly to talk to somebody about this. Go to a doctor, maybe have some expertise in dealing with sexual compulsion, sexual addiction, and do what they tell you.
Okay.
And if you want to have a happy life, and really, I don't care. I have a real problem with people sort of hunkering down into ideologies. We're not talking about ideologies here. We're talking about what's healthy for you. I mean, it's going to make you happy and healthy, that's all. And you're going down a path that's making you miserable. And you have all kinds of miserable feelings you're carrying around with that you're trying to solve via these means that are unsuccessful for you. They only make you feel more miserable. Yet the amazing thing about the human, something I've said many, many times in this show, is that experiences that are awful and terrorizing to us when we're young, meaning under the age of 12, magically we go and seek out people to reenact them with us and compulsively pursue the same behavior over and over again. So if we are sexually abused by some a-hole when we're 8, we find a-holes just like that in our life and we act out sexually with them, we're incredibly attracted to them. So the things that were terrorizing become sources of attraction in adulthood or adolescence, and you continue to act the same thing out over and over and over again. And it is a cycle that if you're not diligently aware of and take some treatment, because you're not, it's like an addiction. It's not something you can manage on your own. If you could stop it, it's making you miserable, you would have stopped it already. Rich, what's happening?
Hey, good evening, Dr. Drew.
Good evening, Rich. What's up?
Well, I'm just curious. I sweat profusely from my genitals and, my whole backside area to the point where it feels like I literally have diarrhea in my pants. And so I've started using...
Hang on. Anderson, where's the vomit sound? Come on.
Yeah, come on,
no, no.
Man.
Oh,
he's sleeping or he's drunk, one of the two.
Well, both.
I'm not sweating on my ass, though, am I, Rich?
It's not just his ass. His genitals in his ass to the
yes,
point
I
that
heard
he's
it
filled,
all once.
He soiled his pants. Quite a picture he paints. Nice.
Yeah. So,
do you eat a lot of cheese from Wisconsin?
Dude.
Of course. So I've started using an antiperspirant and deodorant, and it says for underarm use only. And yeah. I'm just worried about, is something going to happen to me? Am I going to, are my genitals going to shrivel up and fall off? Or
no, I don't think anything like that's going to happen. Though, why don't you just use talk?
Talc?
Or baby powder, something like
powder?
That.
Yeah. Won't that leave powder on me all day? Wouldn't that be kind of uncomfortable?
It's actually designed for this sort of thing, and you can get a little paper mache action going. It's not the greatest thing, but and do you wear cotton underwear? And do you wear things that fit properly? And
yeah, I wear boxers and they're loose, and I have to try to wear loose pants because I feel like it's soaking right through my pants.
Are you a hairy guy?
No. No, I'm actually not hairy at all.
Hmm. Weird. Well, I wouldn't rest. I worry about the skin of the testes more than anything, and then sort of the area around the taint area. That can be irritated pretty easily, and I just don't think that area is. So you're probably not doing any harm. It's also a rather porous area, and it's these aluminum chlorhydrates. We really don't know what they can do long term when they're absorbed. So it doesn't sound like a healthy thing to do to me. Emily, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey, Emily.
I have a 5-year-old, and I breastfed him for almost a year, but I'm still lactating.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is cool?
Not really.
Not really.
I blew my nose yesterday and had to check myself about it.
You what?
I leaked.
What were you doing when that happened?
I blew my nose.
You blew your nose and you leaked. I see.
A little too forceful, apparently.
Oh, that's nice.
What happens when you go to the gym?
I don't go to gyms.
If you hear a baby crying?
No, it's not like that. It's overstimulation and apparently nose blowing.
Nose blowing? What do you mean by overstimulation?
I'm playing with him too much.
Your husband or boyfriend?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, that can perpetuate lactation if he's sort of working them over all the time and they never have a chance to sort of dry up. That is one way that happens. The other, there can be prolactin-secreting tumors in the pituitary gland, so you need what's called a prolactin level. Thyroid problems can do that. And then most commonly, medication. Are you on any medication?
No, but I got them pierced a year ago, and I noticed that made it worse.
Where are you right now? Why is there all the noise?
Don't my stupid friend's in the background. Hang on. Sorry.
I was hoping she was talking about this in public, like at a video store.
We're good.
And so you had your breasts pierced?
Yeah, my nipples pierced.
I wonder if that can, because again, that's a chronic irritation. I wonder if that can predispose to this. It makes sense that it would. But yeah, you do need to see a doctor. You need what's called a TSH. You need a prolactin level. What?
Okay, go on.
Because these prolactin tumors and pituitary do need treatment, if that's what you got.
Is that something they would have caught in like a yearly breast exam?
No, not at all. It's a special test. And then there is medication to help dry things up if that keeps becoming a problem. I just smack that. Mike, Chuck, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
Good, Chuck. What's happening?
Okay, well, this has been an ongoing problem that I've had for a while. I just haven't figured out what to do about it. When I was 15 years old, I had my first chance to have sex. And so I was with my girlfriend, and everything was cool. And as this being my first time having sex, I thought everything was going to go great. And, you know, all the foreplay and blah, blah, blah. And 5-10 minutes after all the foreplay, I'm still completely soft. And just something.
It was your first time out.
First time out, 15 years.
You know,
old,
yeah. That's, well, first of all, you're 15. I mean, that's.
No, I'm 19 now.
No, I know, but at 15, that's a heavy burden. Now, 15-year-olds can't handle that very often.
Right.
And you should be aware that it's very common for men their first time out at any age to have that problem.
Right. Okay. And, but the thing is, not to be cocky or anything, but I'm a good-looking guy, and I don't have a problem pulling girls at all, but it's every single girl that I pull, I'm kind of pushed away from having sex because I get so nervous now. When I was 15, it happened. 16, it happened. With ongoing girls all the way up till 19, I've dated probably 6 or 7 girls since then, and every single time it comes to the part of the relationship where you're supposed to start having sex, it doesn't happen, and I get nervous, and I start...
Are you otherwise normal biologically? Do you masturbate regularly, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Everything's fine. Like
I
had trouble when I was like 16, 17. I started thinking like, no, I'm not gay. I know I'm not gay, you know? And
no, listen, I want to know about your medical health. You want any medication?
No medication.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
They still use sexual surrogates?
No.
Why not?
And if you can go get
Chuck
one.
Would
you
be
can,
great.
Yeah.
Good candidate, no?
Chuck is, if it really is just a isolated phobia or an anxiety disorder around sexuality, which I doubt, are you otherwise an anxious guy or have obsessional thinking?
I'm just a kickback, laid back guy. I don't see, I'm just like all of my other friends.
Do you drink a lot, smoke a lot of pot, do speed, anything else?
I smoke a lot of pot, but yeah. I have my medical card for that.
What does that mean?
I'm a medicinal patient.
For what?
For marijuana.
For why? Being nervous around girls.
For what?
For marijuana.
Why? What's your medical problem?
Well, I've been playing sports my whole life, and I have my bones and joints are all screwed up, and I don't like taking pills.
Right,
it's
Chuck,
basically a really long story not to get into, but
there's something very, very wrong here, and that's why. The vast majority of erectile dysfunction has a medical basis to it. And I know that anxiety is contributing here, and people could argue with me about it being primarily an anxiety issue.
Right.
But I've actually been very involved in some research about these kinds of issues. And almost always there is a significant contributing medical element. And believe me, marijuana profoundly affects your sexual performance, profoundly. And if you add to that some sort of fibromyalgia or whatever else you're describing here,
right,
that suggests there may be some psychiatric issue above and beyond. And I'm not saying that all fibromyalgia patients have psychiatric issues, but that you put this whole story together, and there's a lot more going on here, Chuck, than you're suggesting. A lot more. So, we have marijuana addiction. B, we can debate about whether that is or is not addiction, but the fact is you're having severe consequences for your marijuana use.
Right.
That needs to stop. B, okay. You need another. What?
Sorry, I have one more other thing too that I didn't mention. I probably should.
What's
but,
that?
It's. I don't think it was anything huge, but I just thought about it like this past year. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, there was a neighborhood kid, and I don't remember much about it because I was really little.
All right. Well, this is. If you ever heard Ozzy Osbourne's story, you're about to tell that. Yeah.
And, it's basically like the butterfly effect story, if you've ever seen that movie.
Here's the deal. You're in San Pedro. There's a guy named Dr. Seeley over at Del Amo Treatment Center. You would be Sally, Delamo Treatment Center. That'd be a perfect place for you to go. It's right nearby, right over the hill there, and check things out because there's way more going on here, Chuck, than you realize. Delamo Treatment Center, Dr. Seeley, John Seeley. Okay, wow. And I don't know if people, you know, so much. Here's what this drives me insane. I'm going to go off for a second before we take our break. But you know, in our culture, people don't know how to think about things. You know, they go, "Oh, the guy's anxious every time he gets a girl." Guy, you need to choose not to be anxious. You need to take command of yourself, and you need to learn how to be not anxious in those situations. That is total, absolute, abject BS. The fact is, these are complex situations. They need to be evaluated in the context of the medical, psychological, and psychiatric health of the individual. And there's a ton more going on in these things usually than, for instance, A Million Little Pieces. That was another great example of that. The reason people fell for that BS was because that guy described a horribly, horribly, chronically ill person. The degree of addiction and the behavioral pathology that they, what was his name? Fry described, John Fry, Fry. Anyway, he described in A Million Little Pieces. Huh, what?
You couldn't think of it.
What's his name?
Yeah, the Fry guy, yeah.
Yeah, the Fry guy. Yeah, I mean, the character he described in there is somebody who will be chronically psychiatrically ill his whole life.
Glenn Fry.
No, unless he is actively involved in a recovery program. That's it. There's really no, or he's on chronic replacement therapies, or he's actively using his whole life. That's it. Those are the only possibilities. That is not someone who decides one day, hey, I'm getting over this stuff. I'm going to pull myself out of this, and I'll go with life, and I'll be a good guy. No such person on earth. And because our culture believes that that's just, you know, sort of an Oprah-esque world where you can just magically decide you're something else. No, it has to be. It's a much more complex phenomenon. Absolutely, spirituality is an important part of it. Absolutely, a desire and willingness are key components, support, and all the important things that are necessary for people getting well. But these things take time because they're about rewiring our central nervous system. And it's not about volition. It's about doing work and processing these things over long, long periods of time. And it's not just about deciding you're going to get better any more than somebody could decide not to do heroin if they're a heroin addict. What?
You're angry. Are we going to have Dr. Phil on later this week, or is it next week that you're promoting for?
Well, a couple times. Next week, probably. So, hey, we're going to have Carson Daly on later on. We're going to have Andy Melanakis coming up. We've got a lot of good guests coming up. So tonight, I just got to go off at my whim. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Going to take a break. Be right back.
Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Love those gorillas. Isn't that what that is, Anderson?
Yes,
well, I like their music. They were up here. And I got to give them another chance,
it's
actually.
It's not the gorillas, Drew. It's just gorillas.
I beg your
Don't
pardon.
Don't anger them.
Yeah. Well, that's the stuff that used to drive me insane. They were up on the show, and that's the kind of crap that they would sort of stick to, formalities and their little characters, and they thought they were so GD funny. And they weren't that funny.
Well, no, the actual band members aren't, but the characters that they kind of assigned to each position
not,
was
not funny.
Meant to be funny. Here you go.
Not
Hi,
funny.
I'm Murdoch there. From Gorillaz. You're listening to Loveline.
And my feeling is that they just dropped that crap. They probably are pretty good guys. I certainly like their music. Michelle, what's up?
Hi. I'm 21, and I've had a boyfriend for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a bit of sex, and myself unable to orgasm unless he is wearing makeup, which I know
nice.
That sounds really weird, but I'm serious.
Do you like Culture Club?
Is that just with him? Oh, did I hear a smoke alarm?
Well, I don't know. I was wondering if that means I'm a lesbian or what, because
do you like Culture Club?
I do not orgasm unless he is wearing some form of makeup.
All right, hold on.
Kind of classic.
Is this your first boyfriend?
No, he's not.
Have you had this problem with other boyfriends?
No. What I've noticed that my other boyfriends are somewhat feminine looking.
Okay, so let go of this idea that you're gay. You're with guys. You're not gay.
Yes.
Okay? That just forget about that. It seems like you need some sort of it's almost fetishistic. I need some sort of deviant and bad, you know, something that's arousing in a way that's taboo. Does that feel right?
Maybe. I don't know. I really couldn't explain it.
All right. And you've never had this sort of thing with any other boyfriends?
No, never. And I find myself literally unable to orgasm unless he is wearing makeup.
Yes, I understand. You keep repeating that. I know that's distressing to you. Does he have to have full makeup?
No. He's sort of gothic and he wears eyeliner and things like
all right.
that.
So again, I think it's that sort of antisocial taboo feel you go for. And somehow that when here's what that usually is more than anything. It's that lets you know that he's not a good guy and he's not the average guy. He's sort of antisocial and he's separate from the crowd and he's a bad guy. And therefore connecting with a bad guy lets you feel open and sexual because that sexual part of yourself is bad and I can only express it with a bad guy. And that's whatever, that's sort of nonsense. And the idea in a relationship is being able to be good and bad and be a whole person and experience yourself sexually with somebody that's not just a bad person, but a whole person, a complete person. Not what you're describing is not necessarily that big a deal, but I kind of keep an eye on it. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. We have to take another break. Be right back. Right, it's Love Line 1-800-LOVE-191er. This is Matthew. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, Dr. Drew. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure.
So here's my deal. I had this girlfriend for 6 months, and over the course of our relationship, it seemed like we got really close, but I kept going back and forth with feeling like she wasn't letting me in, and then other times where I felt like she was, and then so.
Yeah. Nope. Keep going.
Okay. So then about a week and a half ago, she broke it off. And she gave me these reasons that I was getting too close to her friends, things like that.
You're gay.
And she essentially, after lots of advice from different people, I ended up writing this letter about observations that I had made while I was with her.
You're gay.
About what?
Well, about how I was feeling when I wasn't getting what I was putting out.
You're gay.
Matthew, do not send this letter.
Do not
send it. She has ended this. It's over, right?
That's correct.
What's your fantasy of what you're going to get out of this? The relationship's done.
It's true.
Done.
I feel like I want some type of closure because I didn't
get... You're gay. She closed it for you. She said it's over. She called you and said it's done. Boom. Over. You don't want closure. You want to cling back and sort of infiltrate.
Well, I don't think so. Because I'm able to let go of things. It's just I felt like there wasn't a lot of conversation where I could, tell her things that I was noticing about what was going on between us.
Give me an example of some of those things.
Hey, Drew, do you know what emo punk is?
No, what's that?
Do I know what emo punk?
Matthew's emo punk.
Nemo punk?
Emo. It stands for emotional.
Oh yes, I do know.
They go to shows and they get mad if anyone dances or jumps up and down. Just watch the music, man. Feel it.
No, this is the nice guy syndrome. I'm gonna get him to the point where he sees this.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, Matthew. I know exactly what you are.
I'm sure you do.
And you are clingy.
I am.
And girls hate clingy.
Right.
They hate it. They want a guy who steps up and goes, hey, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm into. I'm giving you a piece of myself. Let's move. Let's get going. Here we go. I'm going to take you on an experience. Not a guy who goes, you're not letting me in. You're not letting me in.
I didn't say anything like that, when we're together. I basically told her, you're not really... the conversation, essentially she would just say things like, I'm scared to get hurt, and I like you because you.
Yeah, but Matthew, you picked a project in this one too. That's the other thing. She's probably somebody that you saved from a bad guy that mistreated her and all that crap, right?
Things with her family as well as
right. She had, yeah, you're the rescuing guy. You're the rescuing nice guy. And these women that you're attracted to are not into, they are not attracted to you. They're attracted to the chaotic, abusive guys. Now, that maybe they'll come around to a day when they like guys more like you, but even you are going to have to be less like you to get in with that kind of person. You're going to have to be more assertive. You're going to have to be more, have a deeper sense of yourself and of less focused on sort of gratifying yourself by rescuing that person, because that's, they don't want to be rescued. They want to have somebody, a relationship. Actually, they want some chaos. But
well, I mean,
even in the healthier state.
She completely, like, separated herself, you know, emotionally. Like, there was this compartmentalizing thing where, and kind of in an irrational way, like, I couldn't
so what?
Come down to her school.
So what?
Like that.
So what? That's her. So what? You know, are you going to change that? Are you a therapist?
No.
No. Okay. So, there you go. They do not send that letter. Let go of this relationship. Do not find projects. Just go have relationships. Have a nice time, Matthew. Do not cling. Do not have expectations. Do not try to get deep with these girls. And do not, what do you call it, Anderson? Emo, what? Emo punk? Don't be emo punk. Bryce, what's happening?
Hey.
What's up there, buddy?
Okay. When I was about little, like six, my stepmom used to abuse me.
In what way?
She would, like, throw me into walls or hit me, with me and my sisters.
Wow.
And we tried telling my dad, but he didn't really believe us.
Oof.
And I used to have these dreams that I'd hear some commotion in the other room, and I'd walk in there, and something would grab me and pretty much, like, tear me apart.
Sure.
And it'd be just really painful.
Yeah.
And then my dad finally divorced her, and so the dreams stopped. But recently, I started having them again, and they seemed to get worse and worse, and recently, she tried getting back in touch with us and trying to hang out with us more.
Well, that's probably why the dreams came back.
Yeah, well, I had them before she called, so I don't know if they're trying to tell me.
Like, is this your biological mother?
No, ex, like stepmom. Mm.
Well, Bryce, here's the deal. You're describing, amongst other things, symptoms of a post-traumatic stress disorder, these intrusive dreams of his traumatic experience followed by intrusive dreams. And that's something that needs a little help. It's not magically going to go away. The best you can do, if you want sort of simple solutions, is keep things simple. Stay focused on school. Keep your friends around you. Have relationships, and you know, enjoy yourself around people your own age who are sane and fun to be around, but not crazy and chaotic and sort of alternative in their behaviors. If you can't do that, then you got to get some help.
Yeah.
And things like even EMDR, there's something where you learn to use your eye movements. What's that?
I've been seeing a psychologist lately.
Okay, good. And they're helping you?
Kind of.
All right, it's going to take time. It's time. That kind of, those sorts of experiences leave an imprint on your brain. They change the way your brain functions. And one of the things that you want to do, sort of the goal of the therapy, if you're doing just traditional therapy, is develop what's called a cohesive narrative at your life. Make sense of all this. A way that you can experience your life, and not even so much the memories of it, but just what it is has been to have been through, the things you've been through, and own them and understand them and make sense of them. You're with a sick person who damaged you, and now you're sort of dealing with the consequences of all that. Jake, what's up there?
Hello?
Hey, Jake, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? I actually called for a little advice.
Okay.
Okay, well, I just got into this relationship with this really cute guy, and all the other relationships that I've been in with other guys have been, you know, strictly, I guess you could say, platonic. You know, we've just been intimate and whatnot. But the guy I'm with right now wants to take it a little further and make our relationship sexual. I've always been a virgin. I've never had gay sex, and I want to know, you know, what should I do?
Have you ever had heterosexual sex?
I have never had heterosexual sex. I've never been in a relationship with a girl.
And I don't understand what you're asking from me.
Well,
make up your mind for you?
I don't know. Just like, I guess, friendly advice. You know, I listen. You know, you guys help out people. But, you know.
There's the S-bomb. So you're going to have to hang on a second, Jake. Wow. Shannon, what's up there? Shannon? Caller who goes by Shannon. Shannon?
Yeah.
There you are.
Hi.
Sounded like she was standing by a steam engine. What's happening, Shannon?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I was just calling to tell you that it's James Fry that wrote A Million Little Pieces.
Thank you. I don't think I could have lived without that,
without that
information. Did you read the book?
I did.
What'd you think? What'd you think?
Oh, I liked it. You know, I thought even after all of the hoopla, I still thought it was a really good book.
It's almost a shame that it didn't come out as fiction, because as fiction, it did help a lot of people. I you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh my God, this can be so destructive, giving people the notion that they kind of can wish their way out of things. But the reality is, it kind of inspired people. And being the case,
but anyone who's ever done drugs, I read 100 pages of it and I put it down. I said, there's no way this could be true, because if he's this messed up on drugs, he won't be able to remember any of these events. So it's all fake.
Yeah, there are so many sort of...
I think people that like it are people who never really did drugs, because they don't understand.
I've got recovering addicts and stuff who found it kind of inspirational.
Well, then they're stupid. But
they're looking for the inspiration. They're not looking for the sort of... the impossibilities. Also, him being on the plane and being unconscious and vomiting blood.
Perhaps as he was going through it, I might have been able to buy it. But in retrospect, there's no way he could recall any of this stuff.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I know you speak. I know from whence you speak, Anderson.
If it had been released as a fiction book, it would have been just as good as a book.
It actually would have been better. It would have been better, because then we could say, hey, it's just inspirational. It's art. It's not somebody trying to make you believe that that's how humans absolutely necessarily are. It's not a real story. But when they put it out there as a real story, I think it has so much potential to misconceive.
I think we can all agree, though, that it would be best served as a children's book. I could see that.
As a children's book?
What the hell are you talking about?
It'd be very funny as a children's, as a child's book with pictures.
Yeah, it could be pep talk before taking him to the dentist.
Shannon knows from what I speak, yes.
Evidently. I guess she's had some experiences not remembering what happened too, like you, Anderson. All right, Shannon. How you doing otherwise? Everything good?
Just fine. No lactation problems.
No, good.
Sweaty bed.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. And you live in Santa Barbara. It doesn't get better than that.
That's right.
Hey, listen, it's like Noah's Ark down here in Southern California. I mean, it's like biblical rain. Is it still going up there?
Well, I'm driving back. I was just in L.A., and right now I'm like in Ventura, and it's kind of eased up for a minute, but I don't know. We'll see.
All right, fair enough. Well, thanks for the weather report. Appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Michael, what's happening?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Is this Dr. Drew?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. Cool.
So I'm not sure how much of a heads-up they gave you. My question actually has to do with a disease that I have. It's called Marfan syndrome. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
Yes, I've heard of Marfans.
Okay. And
Let's tell people what it is. It's basically a connective tissue disorder you're born with.
Right.
And it's associated with prolongation of the digits.
Right.
There's even speculation that Abraham Lincoln had Marfans. It can affect, absolutely. It can affect sexuality. Well, it's sort of speculation. They also think he may have been bipolar. There's all kinds of little theories about him.
Right.
It can affect your sexual functioning somewhat. It can have certain psychiatric conditions associated with it. And various disorders of the aorta and aortic valve are sort of classically associated with this.
My major questions, actually, just because, and it does come back to, the sexuality type thing. I'm 23, and I am a virgin, but I'm in, my first, real, serious relationship with a girl.
Cool.
And we haven't really explored the sexual thing yet, because I was trying to tell the operator, it's kind of you feel more fragile than anything, just because I am 6'3 and 165. So
thank you for turning off the radio.
Yeah.
And that's again, Marfan's very thin, very tall, that sort of thing. Are you sort of normal sexually? Do you function normally sexually?
Well, as far as just
masturbating, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but I haven't really, as far as bearing weight in that manner, and you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, I mean, just having someone on top of you, or being kind of that active.
No.
I've never really, I haven't played sports, my whole life or anything that.
So. You're going to be fine with your girlfriend. You're going to be fine.
Okay.
I guarantee it. So far, I've seen a number of Marfan's cases. So far, none of them have actually broken in sexual acts.
Okay.
Well, I was more, like, on, to be honest, I was more worried about, like, AAA problems or anything like that. I know that, you know, the
aortic dissection? You mean abdominal aortic dissection?
Well, yeah, because I've actually had an aneurysm within my descending aorta before.
Well, now, so, well, those don't go away. That means you have a descending aortic aneurysm.
Correct.
Yeah, you're not going to, well, I'm sure they urge you not. Are you on a beta blocker?
Yeah, I'm on metoprolol.
Yeah, so they just put you on a, again, explain to the audience what the deal is here. What he's talking about is because Marfan's is a connective, I hope this interests people because it's kind of interesting. It's interesting. All right. Marfan's a connective tissue disorder, and it can cause the aorta, which is the main vessel out of the heart, to sort of enlarge. And remember what John Ritter died of, the problem in the aorta? It's not really exactly the same thing, but it's that kind of thing.
Right.
And basically what they do is put you on a medication that has the heart pump with less force, so there's less stress on the aorta. And appropriately, Michael's worried that if he Valsalva's in a giant orgasm, he'll blow his aorta and explode and bleed all over the place. And again, I'm not aware of anything like that ever happening, Michael. And you're on a beta blocker, and that might make you have more difficulty sexually functioning, so you got to watch out for that.
Right.
But, and obviously you don't want to strain like you're, you know, bench pressing 300 pounds.
Right.
But, you know, just breathe deep, no Valsalva, that kind of good stuff. Okay.
So thank you very much.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. It's all good. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, Marfan's. Interesting thing. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew? I just want to say that you guys are great and how you help people out and stuff because I have therapy myself.
Cool.
And my brother is at a treatment program right now.
Nice.
At Insight in Van Nuys in Ventura. And I think it's great how you help people out.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you're participating in stuff like that. And
I'm in NA myself.
At 16?
Yeah, my twin brother, actually.
Wow. Good for you. I got to tell you, I have such I don't want to say mixed feelings, but I don't have the word for this, but I feel overwhelmed when I'm taking care of a 16-year-old that needs NA because many of them sort of can't do it or won't do it. They don't feel like they need it.
Oh, here's the thing, like, my brother went to military school because my brother was out of control. He was snorting coke in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And he went to military school and started doing meth, and he came back.
Oh, hold on a second, Eric.
Sorry.
The S-bomb was okay in your case. You can keep talking if you promise me you won't use any S or F words, okay?
Okay.
Well, okay, like, go ahead. So he came back. He came back. He was doing meth and S. And he came back.
He started doing heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put himself into rehab, and he relapsed recently a month ago.
Yeah.
And so I'm basically just kind of taking over for myself because drinking wasn't my thing. I just started doing a lot of marijuana.
And you're going to MA or NA?
NA.
NA, good for you. Again, it's just so rare that someone 16, 17 can really sort of see what's happening or believe what's happening or abstract what they need to do.
Oh, yeah, well, because I have therapy myself, my own personal therapist.
No, I get it. It's great, but still, it's great. I mean, this is going to pay off for you. It's really going to pay off. It's going to be something you need to tend to for a long time, but it's going to pay off, all right?
I just want to say I miss
We all miss him.
The best, man.
But you can hear him in the morning in various cities, so appreciate that, Eric.
Who cares? All right, see you later,
bye. Take care, bye. Let's see. Let's talk to, hold on here, Nancy, I'm looking for. Nancy, what's happening?
Hi. I'm a first-time caller as well.
Cool.
And you guys are great and everything, and I was hoping if you guys can help me on this.
All right, here we go.
Okay. I honestly, truly feel I am not girlfriend material.
All right. How come?
Yeah. I'm not girlfriend material. This is
how come?
How I feel. Because every guy I date is just, for some reason, I find something wrong with them. And it's over.
Okay.
And I just want to, like, finally have a good relationship, you know, like.
Well, you won't let that happen.
But see, this is the thing. I don't know how to stop this. I don't know how to, like, just, okay, stop, deal with this and there, you know, but I can't. It's just.
Well, one of the things you can do is when you get bored with guys, don't end the relationship. Just stay in for a while and see what kind of feelings emerge. You know, when you get bored, you do something to end it, you sabotage it, that kind of thing. Boredom, by the way, do you have alcoholism in your family?
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah. And you are you kind of alcoholic yourself?
No, I'm actually 10 years clean.
All right. So you're an alcoholic. Okay, thank you. So what an alcoholic does is sort of something characteristic is when boredom is a feeling that alcoholics get right before depression. And so it's a sign. It's letting you know you need to go do something before you feel that bad feeling. You know how, because an alcoholic, you use a lot of arousal and thrill and that kind of thing to manage your feelings.
Uh-huh.
And boredom makes you go do something or create some drama or end the relationship or go out and do something more exciting.
Yeah.
And then you don't feel that negative stuff, right? You understand what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
And so what you need to do is not respond to that impulse and stay in the relationship and start to realize that when you begin to feel genuinely vulnerable and you actually do tend to have a relationship and connect with somebody, it's a pretty sad thing for you. Because it opens you up to all your bad feelings about your dad and feelings of abandonment and vulnerability and all the heavy whatever you had to deal with. And you got to work that all through. You got to have a real relationship. And if you can't, you have to go to therapy. Very simple.
Because I was wondering, because I mean, the last relationship I've had was, you know, for 2 years. I've known this guy for 11 years and it just didn't work out. And ever since then, it got worse. It's just,
yeah. And by the way, what do you mean 10 years clean? You mean 10 years not using?
Yeah, not using alcohol, drugs, nothing. Just,
but not in the program though.
No.
That'd be another solution, and it's free, and you would find some rather remarkable change if you actually went into a program, got a sponsor, and worked some steps. That would change things for you also. Ashley, what's up?
Hi there. Okay, I'm having a problem. I've been seeing this guy for the better part of 2.5 years now, off and on, and we've been sexual with each other for about 1.5 years.
Yeah.
And recently, in the last, 3 or 4 weeks, he just, nothing. Just, he doesn't want to have sex. And I've asked him about it.
That's not a good sign.
And I told him sex isn't fun anymore. And he told me that, he said that, you know, he's really busy, he works a lot, and he's just really tired.
How old is he?
He's 24.
Is he on any medications?
Not that I know of. I know he does smoke weed off and on, and he does drink occasionally, but not like every day, more like once this a month.
Again, when I smell it, I don't smell it, and I'm not on the scent. I don't smell addiction. So what exactly would you want from me?
Well, I'm wondering if there's anything I can do, because, I mean, he tells me, you know, he's like, I'm not sleeping with anybody else, and it's not you, I'm just tired. I'm wondering if there's anything I can do.
Who said sex wasn't fun anymore? You told him that, or he told you that?
I told him that. Because, he's very strange sexually. He, you know, likes anal, like himself. And, you know, he's worn girls' panties. He's worn makeup. We've tried all sorts of stuff. And it's not fun anymore because he doesn't even want to do it anymore.
Slow down here. Wait a minute. What do you mean he wears girls' panties?
it started off as a joke. And then I found out from his roommate and a couple of his friends that he started wearing them. And once everybody found out, he stopped. But I guess he's bought a couple of thongs and he wears them, to work and stuff.
And now there's an international law that everyone's required to abide by, which is that if I call this out as bogus, you have to admit the fact that it is. So what do we got here?
What bogus? Do you mean bogus?
I mean, you made this call up.
No, I swear to God, my friend is sitting right here. She's with me.
I heard her laughing.
This is completely true.
What's
I swear to you, this is completely true. I'm not making this up at all. It started off as a joke last summer. And we went shopping, and we went shopping together, and he bought some clothes, and I bought some underwear. And we were pretty drunk that night. It was around the 4th of July, and he put them on. And we ended up having sex, and he didn't take them off. Well, I would say maybe 4 or 5 months ago, we were out shopping, and I saw a cute pair of panties, and he bought them. And he wore them. And then come to find out from his roommate and stuff that he's been wearing them. And I asked his friend about it.
Why does his roommate know about this?
He walked in on it. Apparently, he was passed out in his bed, and he walked in and was like, dude, what are you doing wearing a girl's thong? And he told me about it, because we had a fight, and I was like really upset, and I ran into his roommate, and he's like, yeah, what's the deal with the underwear? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't know that he was still doing it.
All right, Ashley, again, there's something very, these kinds of behaviors don't occur in a vacuum. There's something very remiss here. I can't get my head quite around it. I really would have to talk to him. He's fetish. He needs a fetish for whatever reason.
That doesn't bother me at all. I'm bothered because I'm not getting any, and it's really starting to frustrate me.
Yeah, I know. And Ashley, you're kind of a ball buster too, and it's sort of pushing him back, I'm sure, also. But there's a lot more going on here than I can kind of get my head on around in a few minutes on the radio. Here's the deal. He has fetishistic tendencies. You've already talked about him needing anal play and needing women's clothes, all this kind of thing. And these guys can go from hypersexual to even, you know, compulsive acting out. He may have a whole other sexual life going on that you don't even know about. And
well,
he may be gratifying.
He insists to me that he's just very tired, and he said, give him time. He goes, give me time. I'm just really tired.
You're 20. Just go find another dude.
Yeah,
let's move on.
That's all BS. That his being tired stuff is all BS. That's nonsense. But there is something up with him sexually, and for whatever reason, he is shut down right now. And there's a quality when people have been abused sexually or physically where they go fluctuate between hypersexuality and hyposexuality. They become very, very sexual, and they if they have sort of issues, they need sort of fetishes to sort of direct their attention so they can tolerate being sexual with another person. And then they'll go through periods where they're very, very shut down. And it makes me think that there may be some other sexual compulsions here you don't even know about. And it's worrisome. If this whole relationship, you're actually thinking, oh, whatever he's into, it's cool. It is cool. That's fine. Whatever he's into, that's up to him. But it means something. It always means something. So don't think it's something that it's just you know, no accounting for taste. Whatever he's into, whatever. Yeah, whatever he's into. He's welcome to explore all he wants. But there's reasons, just like we talked earlier, monkeys who talk, that's what humans are, and there are reasons they do the things they do, and he's got some issues that he may need to sort out before he can have a stable relationship that's sustained over time. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Loveline will be right back.
There we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call here. It's just me and the love that exists between us.
Hey, Drew, before you take that call real quick.
Yeah.
Unless you're all set to take that call.
I am. I want to stop her before she gets to her boss's house. But
okay,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, afterwards. I want to talk to you about something.
No, go ahead. Well, hang on, Ashley. Stop. Pull over. Don't go to your boss's house. Hold on.
No, Anderson. I stopped.
All right, good. All right, hold on. I want to talk to Anderson. Wait. Oh, all right, hold on. Hold on. All right, Anderson, what's up?
Just earlier, I was asking you about sexual surrogates.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that I bet a lot of our listening audience doesn't even know they existed or anything like that. And I just wanted to have you talk about that a little bit.
Well, they never were.
No, they were.
I know they were popular, but they were never really an accepted treatment modality.
Because my dad used them all the time for his practice. Not to learn from them, but, you know, he's a psychologist.
Yeah. They were not. There were people that used them, but they were basically. People, they were like prostitutes, but they were women that allowed themselves to sort of be used for sexual therapies of various types and to get people over the hump, as it were. And I don't think they ever were really widely accepted as a usual means of a conventional means of therapy of any type, because it really, as I ranted about earlier, things are looked at in a much broader context now and less about just the symptom complex in that moment, because you take care of those symptoms, you get a bunch of other ones. So that
is that why they're no longer used?
I think they're no longer used because they really weren't. Yeah, they weren't effective. If they've been super, super effective, then people would have used that kind of stuff. And it's naive to think that you can get somebody sort of over a fetish or anything else, and that's it. That's all done. To some extent, that works with phobias and things like that.
That's isolated. That's what my dad used for his phobias.
Yeah, phobias it would work for. Phobia, but there are other ways to overdo that, to undo that too. But yeah, I could see that being a means whereby someone might deploy that. So Ashley, what's going on there?
I guess, having somewhat of a relationship with my boss, who's my store manager at my work. And
what kind of store is this?
It's a retail store.
Okay. And how old is this guy?
How old? I'm 21.
He's 21?
Yes.
So he's like a retail store manager?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's pretty young for his age to actually be a store manager, but...
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm 19.
So we've been, I don't know, we became really good friends. Like, we just, we go up and we go snowboarding together all the time, and we've just been hanging out, like, just really good friends.
Just so you understand, males, 21-year-old males, he's had a war room. He's been planning this for years, for as long as he's known you. This friendship,
uh-huh.
No, that was a big plan. Believe me. Trust me on this one. He was on to you from the beginning.
He moved out here, too, and he told me, you know, like, I'm this really cool chick and, like, his first real friend that he's met out here, too. And, like, so he doesn't know if he wants to, like, that was, you know, like, 3 days ago we had this conversation right before we had, you know, sex. We just kind of had a little talk about we don't know if we want to, like, there's sexual tension between us because I think we both really like each other, but there's like this boundary between us too, because we work together. And I mean, it's not even like a serious like job. It's basically a whole bunch of fun and play. And,
No, I understand. This is like a, what do you do? Do you go to school now?
Yeah, I go to school and work. So
yeah, it's so work is sort of more of an extension of the school experience, right?
Basically,
it's just,
I mean,
young people, there's an authority structure there, but it's sort of loose.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, actually. I'm not totally against it the way I would often be.
It's just kind of like I just need some advice, maybe. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I should be continuing this or, like, I mean, and he's also, like, he's been more of a, I want to say, man whore, because that's where I would, what vocabulary I would use when I talk about him. You know, because we started off as friends. So when we first started off as friends, like, we would talk about what we like and, like, you know, the opposite sex, like what I like in a man, what he likes and what he dislikes, and how, you know, what girl he slept with, you know, and he's not very committed, and he hasn't been.
What made him a man whore? What was he doing?
Just sleeping with different girls, like, all the time, and not, like, continuing it. Like, he just doesn't talk to them again, like one night stands, basically.
How many times has he done that?
I have no clue.
Are we talking about 10, 20, 100?
I'm gonna say 20, maybe. I really don't know. He hasn't.
How would you feel if he suddenly, if you go ahead with this and he stops calling you?
See, that's another thing. Like, and when, you know, and that's why I didn't want to pursue it, because, like, I don't, you know, think that way. But ever since we started hanging out, like, he hasn't gone out and he hasn't seen any other girls. And,
well, it's because he's new in town. He hasn't really been sort of up to speed. What happened in this little conversation you had about having sex? What did you guys decide?
So we had that conversation. He said that he didn't want, not that he didn't want to, he said something along the lines of, because we were deciding on whether or not we should go with it or not. And he said that he didn't know because, you know, he doesn't want to ruin it. Meaning, I think, because I really don't know, that's why I'm probably calling this for advice, is whether or not, if he means that he doesn't want to go with it, like, as he doesn't want to ruin what we have if we do have sex, like, he might be over it, because that's what he told me. Like, he's all about the chase. Like, once he gets the girl, he's over it.
Right. You know? Yeah, that is what he's telling you. He's telling you that we could have sex, and then I could go into my old pattern, which I always do, which is on to the next one, or I can't. You know,
right.
They're guys that get very deep in, this guy sounds like one of these guys, very deep in envy, sort of narcissistic, and anybody that have sex with him, sort of, they're ruined by it. They go, fah, done. And that's not a great guy, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of, what is so attractive about this guy to you?
I really don't.
Do you have any other opportunities? Is this the only guy you could hook up with?
No, I mean, that's not even the deal either. I mean, I was, I'm myself pretty attractive.
All right, Ashley, here's the deal. This is going to be a very personal decision. You're going to have to make it. You're a big girl. It's probably not going to be a great thing. Even if it works out in a relationship, I'm looking at my crystal ball. I see trouble. I see storm clouds ahead. But it may be something important for you to do. I don't know. That's up to you. This is a very personal. You're a big girl. Make a decision. Decide what you're going to do. Maybe storm clouds are worth it.
I don't know if I want to have a relationship without feelings. Because, like, do I just want to have, you know, I'm only 19. Like, do I want to explore? And, like, sex is sex. And
Here's the deal. Sex is never just sex. That's nonsense.
Okay.
And especially for a 19-year-old female, there's hormones that kick off, oxytocin released, you feel bonded to that person. What women do is they kick into a denial mode about it and try to pretend it's not happening. It happens. And that's fine if you want to learn how to manage that and sort of suppress that. I think that's awful when women do that. But the reality is it's a very deep decision for you. You make it. It's going to be okay one way or the other, but I see storm clouds ahead, okay? And maybe storm clouds is what you want right now in your life. But
I already had sex.
Oh, you already did it?
Yeah, we already had sex. We had sex.
All right, so what are you asking me about?
I'm asking you about whether I should continue this or not.
Well, okay. That's the same question.
Well, we already
question.
Had sex. Okay, Friday. So,
Ashley, I do not have all night. I know this is not Ashley line. I'm sorry. It's all great. But you've got to make this decision about what you're going to do. I can't make the decision for you. You're already in. And it's clear to me you aren't going out. You're in. You might as well give up to it. You're in. You're just go ahead, enjoy it, see where it goes. But I see storm clouds ahead. Sarah, what's up?
Hello?
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, hi.
Hey, what's happening? Thank you for joining Ashley Line.
Sorry?
Thank you for joining Ashley Line.
Hi, you're welcome. I was actually calling to ask what your thoughts are on the issues of psychiatric medications and how doctors oversubscribe them and how they actually turn out to be an addiction problem. How they end up being worse than what they began with?
Well, it depends on what medicine you're talking about. Some are essential. Some, the kinds of medicine, the kinds of drugs that people are doing these days damage people's brains.
Yeah.
In order to manage and treat those brain injuries, you need to take medication or you will not be able to stay sober and you will be troubled your whole life. Mm-hmm. Now, that's different than what about taking Subutex, what to take buprenorphine, methadone, Xanax, Klonopin, these medications that are profoundly addictive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different story.
Right, right. See, what happened was I actually know several people who, at my university health center, actually one of my professors went in, all she needed were antidepressants, and she ended up being addicted to something ridiculous, like 20 medications. Her doctor put her on something, different things that made her go insane. For months.
Well, you're trying to evaluate something that you have no real knowledge about. I guarantee you, if someone is put on 20 psychiatric meds, they had some very, very serious psychiatric problems, and addiction was part of it, and that needs to be treated. If somebody gets addiction.
But my question is whether you think that in these situations, it's better to just kind of stave off and, have maybe natural remedies instead of, maybe they didn't really need to be subscribed in the first place.
20% of people with depression die. Now, if that's an okay number for you, then I guess natural remedies are okay. But that's not a good number for me. And I think we need to struggle with that and try to find ways to improve those outcomes. And typically that's by trying to adjust brain chemistry and use therapies and talk and things. And that's what needs to happen. And unfortunately, at this point in history, natural cures don't really do much to budge that number. It's 1 out of 5 people with major depression die. And if you look at any other disease, whether you're talking about breast cancer or pneumonia, and if it was a 20% fatality rate, you'd be freaked out if you got that illness. We need to treat things like depression with the same degree of seriousness. Same with addiction. I mean, the probability of dying from opiate addiction is extremely high. So it's like any other disease state. It needs to be dealt with aggressively. Holly, what's up?
Hey there, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Holly, what's happening?
About my boyfriend.
You what?
I have a question about my boyfriend.
Yeah.
He had a problem where he was only able to get an erection when he was on his back. And he went to, Boston Medical Group, one of those places, because he wasn't sure if it was physical or if it was something psychological. And they said it was physical. They said that it was from a buildup of using too much Sudafed.
Wow.
And so their remedy for it was to give him medication that he was to use for 6 to 9 months and that he was to inject directly into his penis via a syringe.
Nice.
Which I didn't realize that was what he was doing. He assumed I knew because I had seen a syringe out, but I just didn't put it together. So it really affected our sex life for a while. And then
didn't like the idea that he was injecting?
Well, no, he was scared to death. I mean,
of
he was getting, you know, drunk just to put the damn thing in, and you know, it really there was no spontaneity in our sex life.
When was this? How long ago was this?
It's been within the past probably 4 or 5 months. And
because
so,
since the advent, I mean, those injectable, the papaverine and the prostaglandin and stuff, that's all pre-Viagra treatments for erectile dysfunction.
They're saying that it should clear them up in 6 to 9 months.
No, listen to me. That's rarely used anymore. I'm surprised that they're sort of using that kind. We used to use that years ago for erectile dysfunction, but since remember the Muse suppositories and then the Viagra and then the Levitra and the Cialis, that sort of made all the intrapenile injections or intracavernous injections obsolete. So I wonder why they're doing just. Did he try Viagra?
No, this was his first shot. This is his first try trying to find out what was wrong.
Maybe he needs to get another opinion. See just a regular urologist and just don't go to any fancy places that deal with, you know, specialized erectile dysfunction clinics.
Yeah, because I told him I'm perfectly happy riding until we find out what's wrong. He doesn't need to stick a needle there. That's okay. So, but does that sound bogus that because he used Sudafed too much that it created a blockage?
It makes sense to me that something like that could happen, but I've never heard of it. Heard of it. And I just think that he needs to see a urologist, and just a simple Viagra prescription, it might be take care of it. I don't understand the big deal with the injectables, because that's just rarely done anymore, okay? And by the way, he's able to function. Maybe you ought to go with him, too, to make it clear what is communicated to the doctors, that he functions sexually. It's just certain positions he can't function.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Holly, good luck.
Bye.
My goodness, you guys have interesting calls tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Please give us a call. We'll be right back.
Call Love 1-800-LOVE-191.
So you're pregnant?
Can you get addicted to aspirin?
That's pretty accurate.
Love Line. Be right back.
All right, here it is. Love Line 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's quickly deal with Cody here. Cody, what's happening, buddy?
Not much, Dr. Drew. Hey, I was listening to an older Love Line, and I was wondering, it was one where Corolla was talking about eating a pot brownie.
Yep.
And I was wondering if a person ground up marijuana and encapsulated it, and took it in capsule form, mm-hmm. if they get the same effect, or if
I would think. I can't see why not.
James Fry talks all about that million little pieces. I suggest you buy it and read it and believe it all.
Really? Okay.
Well, be that all as right. it may, marijuana is absorbed via the gut, and mm-hmm. its absorption is rather slow, and it's hard to control it. You know, with the rapid levels that are achieved with smoking, you can kind of know the dose you're getting each time you inhale. With the ingestion, it keeps coming until, you know, and people get, and you can deliver much, much higher doses gastrointestinally than through the pulmonary system.
I see.
Okay?
Okay.
So it's a little hard to control it, that's all. And Mark, what's up?
Hi. I have a question about masturbation. Mm-hmm. Basically, I masturbate to the point of where, like, my shaft bleeds.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And, I'm not sure, I don't really like lotion, and I'm not sure, like what I could do to stop, because I want to know. Like, I'm kind of, addicted to it, or whatever.
You're 23. It's a little bit of a problem at that age, right? Well, if, you know, I'm just thinking, do you do internet porn, that kind of thing, when you're masturbating?
No, basically, I have porn, whatever, like. Pop in the DVD or whatever.
Sort of porn addiction. Were you sexually abused growing up?
I think so.
All right. And was there alcoholism or addiction in your family?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So that's kind of the recipe for sexual addiction. So we could at least speculate that you might have true sexual addiction. And that is something that is going to keep sort of expanding. That is the nature of addiction, for it to progress. And you'll start sort of doing things in the real world and getting into more alternative stuff. And that's in the nature of the evolution of sexual addiction. So if you don't want to go down that path, I would suggest you check out SA Or if that's something you don't feel comfortable doing, find a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist who has experience in treating sexual addictions and do what they tell you. Amanda, what's up?
Hey, my mom, she's kind of crazy. And
what does that mean?
She thinks that this insurance company is following her around and like her whole family is a part of
it. That they can just come in and drop the S and the F-bomb whenever they feel like it. Anderson?
Yeah, I was cutting the cuss words there, Drew. So I
you got
it
him?
Right to you.
Okay, good.
I really hope so.
Can I get back to her?
No, let's not go back to her. Let's go to Travis because
I don't want to talk to Travis.
I think he's lying and I want to know.
All right. Travis, what's up?
That guy you guys were talking about earlier who wore the panties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like everything you guys were saying that he was doing, I've done that, and that's exactly where I'm at today.
Hey there, fancy pants.
Meaning it's something you're into today.
Yeah, definitely. Like, okay. I have all these fetishes, anal. Yeah.
Where do you get your panties from there, Travis?
Actually, from ex-girlfriends. I've seemed to keep one pair from each girlfriend. And
Anderson, Travis is not lying.
I swear on my life.
No, everything. I know you're not lying.
I thought it was like a ruse and like he was the guy that they were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But no, I'm actually glad we did take Travis's call. Well, are you able to have relationships?
Well, I am, but I feel like I'm always codependent in a relationship to where I can't ever be alone, and I'm not sure exactly why I'm codependent.
Right. Have you ever had any therapy?
I've had therapy since I've been like 8 years old. I'm diagnosed bipolar. I've been admitted to a hospital twice.
What was happening when you were 8 years old? Why? What went on then?
I don't know. The best I can think of that at a young age, my parents were divorced. My dad was really neglective, but I know whenever I was 13, I know I did something psychologically bad to myself. I tried actually having sex with an animal. And ever since then, that's like something that really, really like bothers me. Hmm. And it makes me uncomfortable in my daily life all the time.
Drew, why are you not asking what kind of animal?
Go ahead, Travis.
A dog.
Yeah. Because I want to talk. Travis, can we call you tomorrow night? Or actually, I guess it'll be Wednesday night.
I'm actually going to be at a concert.
Because there's a lot to talk about here. Well, not tomorrow night, but the next night.
Is it Culture Club you're going to see?
This guy's got stuff going on. We got to try to help him. We are out of time tonight. Travis, I would like to talk to you some more. You got a lot of stuff going on. Do you have a therapist right now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
A psychiatrist.
All right. But you need somebody you can actually do talk work with.
We'll call him, Drew. We'll get him.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. We're gonna have to take a little break here. We're gonna follow up with you, Travis, because there's a lot to talk about, and I want you to kind of take it easy, take a couple deep breaths. I'm glad you're in treatment. Things are gonna be okay. We'll try to figure things out here. Dr. Drew, he'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that about does it for another episode of Loveline. Please stay with us. We've got Melanakis, Shmela Shmakis coming up later in the week today. We got Carson Daly later in the month. We've got a bunch of really cool guests coming up this month, so stay tuned. Check out online. Where would they go online, Ann, to check out our list? KROQ.com. Go check out KROQ.com and check out the Loveline area and keep track of what's coming up. In the meantime, as Dr. Drew's saying, good night and stay well. Don't be emo punk.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.